T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami's Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Oh my goodness, there is so much going on. There's literally so much going on that we need an extra file cabinet.
File cabinet?
People use file cabinets anymore.
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You have a file cabinet?
My insurance information. I like to have it in paper, man.
You don't have it in like a fireproof, you got to put that in a safe there. Waterproof, fireproof, you have that in a file cabinet.
Yeah, because you never know when the computers go to hell. You got to have it.
Y2K.
Concrete.
I'm still not convinced that Y2K, that it's all completely debugged at this point. Panthers are hot. The Cavs are in total disarray. The Colts have been left in disarray. Kristaps Porzingis tore his ACL, so the Knicks are in disarray. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a superhuman. Did anyone see that dunk? Did you see that dunk?
Yeah, that was nasty.
Did he hurt? Was that Tim Hardaway Jr.
That
he hurdled?
That was Tim Hardaway Jr., yeah.
Hurdled him. Now, you know, you've seen dunks where people get posterized before. I have never seen a dude go two legs over another dude's head.
I didn't remember it. The only person I've seen even a picture of was Kobe. There was one on
Kobe
Twitter
did
today.
That?
Kobe did that to somebody big, but that was embarrassing, man.
Oh, my God.
Tim got to get the hell out the way. You see it all the time. Dwayne Wade does it a lot.
Get out the way.
You're on a fast break.
Better than being posterized.
The Greek freak's behind you, trailing.
What are you doing standing there?
Get the hell out of the way. Nobody will question what you do.
I think Vince Carter did it in the Olympics. He dunked over somebody.
Well, I could see it in the Olympics. Like, I can see, you know, some dumb Yugoslavian guy. Now, the reason I said dumb Yugoslavian is I know that I can't anger anyone or outrage anyone. Yugoslavia doesn't exist anymore. So that was a decision I made before saying, you know, a dumb whatever. And then you go, wait, what to say? Yeah. A dumb Yugoslavian. Yugoslavia doesn't exist. At me.
Big man.
You know, people say, don't at me. I just said, at me. Because I don't care. There is no Yugoslavia. There's no Yugoslavia.
But what about post-Yugoslavia being
upset? I declare myself president of Yugoslavia. Doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares.
You look Yugoslavian.
The Heat need a win tonight, but they play Houston. So that's going to be difficult.
We're going to watch.
You're going to the game tonight, huh? This is the game that you've chosen to go to because you want to see James Harden.
I think the most surprising team... I don't want to say
is
surprising.
Is it surprising? It's not surprising.
But I didn't expect them to come together like they have. The Rockets are playing hellified basketball.
And then, you know, look at the East. Forget about the West for a second. Look at the East. We've talked about this for several weeks. Every time Ira comes on, he says the same thing. Because I always say, the Cavs, they look like they're in trouble. And Ira always says the same thing. If I gave you the bet right now to win the East, you either bet the Cavs or the field. And every week we always go, well, it's still the Cavs. It's still the Cavs. There's no way you could feel that way anymore.
No way?
No way. Show me those stats. Flara, what were the stats again? First of all, you want to hear Derrick Rose's stat line? What was Derrick Rose's stat line in last night's game?
0 for 7, 0 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 fouls.
I mean, that's a former MVP.
Yeah,
right?
Man, every time you go out, you got a show out.
I mean, that's crazy. And then I think Valero told me, is this correct or is this something you made up, that every pass Dwayne Wade or LeBron James made to an ancillary player on the Cavs went 0 for the night.
Is that correct?
That's
0 for
true?
9. Yeah.
0 for 9.
Yeah.
Every time they tried to dish the ball to someone, it was missed.
Missed.
What was Isaiah? Do you have the second half stat line by any chance?
I
guess you don't. Yeah. I think I read somewhere it was like Isaiah Thomas was 0 for 8. J.R. Smith was 0 for 9. They scored 9 points in the fourth quarter, the Cavs. All of them LeBron, by the way.
I like that Isaiah Thomas is kind of like the cancer.
Isaiah Thomas, have you ever seen a worse fit for a team? Like, have you ever seen a guy who's really good, an all-star? Because there was a point last year, I think, where I would have taken Isaiah over Kyrie. Dumb me, but there was a point during the playoffs where I think I favored Isaiah Thomas over Kyrie. And Isaiah Thomas, a real superstar, right? I mean, he's a superstar.
Is he?
He was in last year's playoffs.
I was going to say, because this is where I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like a superstar right now.
No. But the thing is, here's a superstar that goes to a team that's got superstars on it, and he has just kind of single-handedly tried to take it over with negativity. What athlete has ever come in to take over a team with negativity? The team that he's gone to, correct me if I'm wrong, has been to the finals three straight years. So Isaiah Thomas gets there, and he's played in how many games now? 10?
14.
14 games.
Wasn't a lot.
He is the president of negativity when it comes to the Cavs. LeBron's got to be ready to wring that dude's neck.
When Hulk Hogan went to the NWO. They were real nasty.
You're right.
That's the only one I can think
different.
Of.
He went there with a black beard. He went there. He showed you. He was the president of negativity.
After the first quarter, Isaiah Thomas went 0 for 8.
0 for 8 after the first quarter.
You know, I love the thing about Isaiah because he talks trash. He talks trash during the game. He called LeBron a phrase that in my culture is a fighting word. I saw it on Twitter. LeBron and him were arguing. He turned around and called him a B-A, we're allowed to say, bitch ass?
I think so.
Okay. And the N-word at the end. That put together is fighting words. Isaiah was talking, I saw on Twitter talking to LeBron. They were arguing. He turned around and said, oh, you bitch ass, blah, blah.
Really? How did I miss this?
Go look on Twitter. I'll pull it up for
like
you.
This happened recently.
Yes. My enjoyment is Isaiah's so little. LeBron can't jump on him.
Can't do anything.
So he can can mess up this whole team as long as he wants to. What are you going to do to him? Argue at him?
You call him shorty.
Yeah, but you're not going to grab him. I like the part that this can never get physical. So Isaiah can do this forever. And if LeBron was ever to run up on Isaiah, LeBron would be the bad guy because that's like attacking a preteen. I love it.
It's like me and you. People always say to me, hey, you got to watch the way that you talk to Crowder. You got to, because you ride him, man, and you make fun of his NFL career and you're on him. Like, I've had people tell me, hey, man, that dude is going to kick your ass one day. I go, there's no positive for Channing to kick my ass. What is anyone gonna say? Way to go, Crowder. You really taught that that flabby, balding 48-year-old a lesson.
I think of fighting is kind of like MMA. I need to fight somebody. Yeah,
right,
somebody
you gotta be in your weight class.
To up my rank, though.
You gotta be in your weight class. And you're right. No point in fighting going down in your rank because you can't get any higher.
That's what it is. I would lose friends if I hit you.
I love what's going on in Cleveland. It's crazy. I can't recall because okay, so I ask you now. Do you pick the Cavs to win the East?
No.
You have to bet the Cavs or the field. You take the field.
Talking about a game. Game one starts tonight.
I'm saying, no, game one starts whenever it starts.
No.
You still go with Cleveland.
Yes.
What have you seen this season that leads you to believe that LeBron is going to sing? There are people, you know what Isaiah Thomas is? It's my Falero. There are people on LeBron's team actively working against his success. Actively
yes.
working
I'm,
against
I agree
it.
With you, yes.
I believe Isaiah Thomas is active. I believe Derrick Rose is actively working against LeBron's success. I think Dan Gilbert is actively working against LeBron's success.
I don't want to say trying to work against LeBron.
They ain't working for him.
But I think a lot of those guys you name don't care who has more points at the end of the night.
Right.
I don't think they're attacking LeBron, but I don't think they have the same goals LeBron has.
There are guys, I think. The best guys to surround yourself with, if you have a good legacy, and LeBron's got a Hall of Fame legacy, maybe the GOAT, you need to surround yourself with people that recognize that of you, and they're there to help you facilitate your legacy, your greatness. That's really the way that works. I've made a horrible mistake with Valero here. I don't have the legacy LeBron has, but obviously I've made a horrible mistake. He doesn't recognize it. He actively works against me.
I don't work against you.
But Dwayne Wade, you just did. But Dwayne Wade, Dwayne Wade, though, he recognizes that in LeBron. He wants to be his wingman. Now, whether Dwayne Wade's physically capable anymore of doing much is debatable.
Answer's no.
Derrick Rose don't give a bleep. J.R. Smith doesn't give a bleep. Isaiah Thomas sure as hell doesn't give a bleep about LeBron. And I'm probably at the point Kevin Love doesn't give a crap anymore. Like, he has surrounded himself with guys that I think are resenting him instead of wanting to facilitate for him.
And bringing in Dwayne Wade to LeBron, that would kind of set a standard on how to treat me.
Right.
Because Dwayne treats me this way, and he's Dwayne Wade. In LeBron's mind, the guy should respect Dwayne and him. So Dwayne kind of, I don't want to say kisses LeBron's butt, but Dwayne, he sits in the two spot, I would say, in their relationship. And he has to, going to Cleveland with LeBron. He knew
what he was signing up for.
And the guys didn't fall in line. The guys didn't follow suit.
Right.
Isaiah, we know who didn't follow suit. Isaiah didn't follow suit. Kevin Love has not been following suit. They yelled at him year after year.
J.R. Smith is lost. Jay Crowder doesn't understand suit. Like, they're all, like, it's a crazy situation there.
But you don't, my thing is that at some point they'll have that sit-down meeting where no coach is allowed. Oh, we had the air our grievances, and they come back fourth, third seed in the East, playing good basketball late. Because everybody says it, this basketball now doesn't matter.
They're going to be one of the top four seeds, there's no question. But they really look like, did they have a 28-point lead on Orlando last night or a 22-point lead, 21-point lead? A 21-point lead on the worst team in the NBA, who I'm guessing was playing without Aaron Gordon again, right?
Correct.
And they lost! Now, you can't tell me that the magical switch that could be turned on couldn't have been turned on, just like if it's a dimmer. To beat Orlando when you're up 21, you just have to raise the dimmer a touch. Like, you don't even have to fire it up like the Captain Phillips trying to outrun the pirates, and they have to really make this giant cargo ship move to the right and the left, and they're doing, like, this is just a tweak of the direction.
They got a water hose, and these dudes got AKs.
Right.
Give me more than this damn water hose.
Half the hose are spraying the wrong way.
Somebody wants a water hose, and we're fighting with bullets. LeBron, remember, what was that? Well, they used to do that where, I remember when the Heat were making the big run. When the big three era is kind of sets the standard for my basketball watching.
Yep.
But remember on the underneath the scorers table, they would have 16 games because you have to win.
You got to win 16 games.
So 16
right.
Without going home is kind of the thing. You don't think the Cavs, and this is where when you ask me the question, where I am stuck on it, because in my mind, if I put up that board of 16 games and the Cavs are in the four seed, going into the playoffs, you don't think LeBron could sit down? It's only 15 guys on the team, Hawk. You don't think he can sit down and have dinner with Isaiah, Kevin Love, not to be best friends, I'm not talking about the banana boat crew, Hawk. I'm talking about, hey, guys, 16 games we have to win.
I think it's gone. I think that is gone with this team, and I think LeBron knows it. There's a window of opportunity where, yeah, guys can flex their muscle a little bit, but it's still understood how this team works. I think that window of opportunity has closed. I don't think anyone on that team buys into LeBron's vision of how that team works. And I don't think he can get that back. Can he single-handedly win games? Absolutely. Could he beat the Celtics in a four-game series?
Right now it feels like no. But
with Kyrie out there?
By the time the playoffs start, I don't know.
Could they beat the Wizards in a four-game series? You immediately started to say yes, Valero, and then you just went,
because you think about the roster. Not right now. After 82.
I think so. I think they're not really trying hard right now.
After 82, Hawk, that switch, I didn't believe it.
But you realize the difference between not trying hard and being flat out embarrassed night after night. LeBron, you can make the case sometimes. It'd be like Randy Moss. Randy Moss, a lot of people would say he would take plays off, would take plays off. There's something different between taking plays off and flat out embarrassing yourself nationally night after night. That's not what LeBron is planning to do.
With that, remember when it was Crowder, Jay Crowder, walked over Kevin Love, didn't help him up when he got bowed in the face. Yep. And then Kevin Love threw on Jeff Green's face through the towel.
Or this warm-up jersey.
Yeah, and Jeff Green's upset. Like, that part of it makes you say they don't even like each other. Like, I'm thinking, with those two images, I'm thinking they're going in the locker room, there's no music on, they're not talking, they're walking in and changing like it's the 24-hour fitness locker room.
Right.
And that's not how an NBA team's supposed to be. But am I naive by thinking professionals getting paid that way, that know what it takes and know that their career in the long run is going to be evaluated by how many championships and playoff wins you have, can they overlook you not helping me off the ground or you throwing your damn warm-up jersey on my head? Overlook the petty and get to winning basketball game. Let's just play basketball.
But
right
here,
now.
Here's what I think about that. I think that Isaiah Thomas has already chalked this season up as, I came here because I got shipped here and I'm going to be gone. And I think J.R. Smith is, I helped out LeBron already, I'm done. Dwayne Wade is just thinking about a check and maybe another ring. I think Kevin Love wants out of there. I think Ty Lue wants out of there. I think Dan Gilbert wants LeBron out of there. Like, I think it is so dysfunctional that the notion of then you go into the locker room, you know, in May and go, all right, guys, we've been through a lot, but here we go. Do it for me. It ain't happening.
I can not do it for
me. That's all that they're going to hear.
Do it for yourself.
Nah, everyone else will hear, do it for me. Because they don't like him. They don't like LeBron.
And LeBron painted the picture of him going to save Cleveland. So if they win another championship, it's not going to be the 2017-18 Cavs bring another championship home.
It's going to be LeBron.
LeBron James bring another championship to Cleveland.
It's a very, very entertaining NBA season so far. Now, the Heat are mired in a four-game losing streak, and I want to find out what Will Mansell thinks that means. Today is also National Signing Day Part 2. We are going to air Mark Richt's press conference live. That should take place around 3 o'clock this afternoon. So if you are a Miami Hurricanes fan, Larry Bluestein's going to come on with us all afternoon as well. He's been texting me today. Be very happy if you're a Hurricanes fan. So I'm giving you a little sneak preview of Larry Bluestein. So we're going to have complete coverage. Mark Richt live around 3 o'clock. Will Manso next. Radio.com. Radio.com. Like a classic rock thing today?
Well, I did this because Isaiah Thomas said when they face adversity, they go separate ways.
Oh, so you're playing separate ways.
Uh-huh.
This is a crazy quote, isn't it? After a game, to say, yeah, when we face adversity, we go separate ways. Do you have that sound of Isaiah Thomas after the game last night?
We, as players, we gotta do better. I mean, when they start to go on their runs, which teams is going to do each and every game, we got to come together. And it's like right now, when we hit adversity, we go our separate ways.
Go our separate ways. I would say that's Ty Lue's fault, but got to put it on LeBron.
Ty Lue left the game yesterday. He was sick.
Got to put it on LeBron.
It's crazy. It's crazy what's going on there. And then Will Manso is going to join us here. I want to ask him what's going on with the Heat, too. So we'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk with Will Manso, sports director at Local 10. You watch him on Fox Sports Sun on the Heat broadcast as well. Hello, Will.
Not sure exactly if Steve Perry intended that song for the Cavs theme this year.
Probably not. Probably not. I'm not delighting in others' misfortunes, except this time. I'm delighting in others' misfortunes in this one. But I want to start with the Heat's misfortunes for a second. I asked during the show yesterday to a number of people, what does the Heat's four-game losing streak mean? Can you put meaning, like, does it mean they are a 41-41 team? Does it mean they've just hit a bump in the road? Does it mean it was an aberration a couple weeks ago? Like, what does it mean?
I don't think it means that they're a 41-41 team. I think it is a bump in the road, but I think it's more of a just a correction of the season. And that's not to say that what they were doing a few weeks ago wasn't sustainable. I mean, sure, if they keep shooting, you know, strong from threes and that's their game, playing defense, they can win games and keep at that pace. But it was going to stop at some time for at least a little bit, because when shots don't drop, this team is just not going to score a lot of points. When they don't hit threes and can keep up with other teams, they're not going to score a lot. And you look at the stretch, even when they won 7 in a row, even when they won whatever it was, 10 of 12, 14 of 18, whatever it ended up being in that great stretch, they were winning a lot of 1-, 2-, 3-, 4-point games. I had a discussion with someone last night. When's the last time, and you guys can probably find it quickly, or how many times it's happened where the Heat has just blown a team out? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. You just don't see it where they just win a game by 15, 20 points and you're not sweating midway through the fourth. It's just the way they're built. They're not a team with stars. They've got to do it every single night. Or if not, they're going to hit four-game losing streaks like this. And I tell you what, with the four games they've got left, it could get longer if they don't straighten this out quick.
Yeah, no, it doesn't get easy. I mean, tonight is almost impossible. I mean, this is a tough game to win tonight, Will.
I mean, you've got the Rockets, who are red hot, and they got maybe the MVP of the league in James Harden. You are probably going to be without Kelly Olynyk. Wayne Ellington's got a sore shoulder, which probably explains a bit what's been going on the last week with him not shooting well. Justice is ill. I mean, everything is just kind of falling apart at once. And I've never seen a team that's needed an All-Star break more than this team. And it could just be that two guys, is that they are such a tight rotation of guys that every night have to do their job to win. They may just be right now hitting some sort of wall. And I'm not trying to make excuses. Trust me, this could linger and they're terrible the rest of the year. But I really think this team needs a restart, refresh, to get ready for these final 30 games or so, because right now they just look like a team that doesn't have much left in them, and they're still four games till the break.
Hey, well, wasn't this team built as like a young team, you know, trying to see what happens, a bunch of no super max contracts, but a bunch of guys got, you know, $40, $50 million, and you want them to develop. My question is, has anybody got better? Like, is anybody getting better? You want to develop young players. We know Deion Waiters is out, but who's getting better? Who got better this season?
I think the only two guys that come to mind are from established guys, Jay Rich. I think Jay Rich has clearly gotten better. I think, you know, statistically he's gotten better. From a leadership standpoint, he's gotten better. He just looks like a different player, especially, guys, I think we've all talked about it on the show here, is that in November he was terrible. And we were all thinking, oh, my God, they gave him this four-year contract. He's going backwards. He's been better. He's definitely improved. And that's a guy you say, okay, I can build around that guy with a core of a few guys. He's one of those few guys that I build around. Bam clearly has taken a step that we didn't expect him to take so quickly. He's gotten better. But after that, I'll be honest with you guys, as far as the guys they brought back, obviously Deion didn't get better. You mentioned the injury. It's just unfortunate. JJ has regressed. Tyler has stayed very stagnant. I think injuries have been a part of it, but Tyler hasn't made that jump, that Jay Rich type jump that I think a lot of us wanted to see. And as Heat fans, you hope to see. The Dragon is the Dragon. Him and Hassan are kind of, you know, I know Hassan goes through this minutes thing, but they kind of give you that consistency of veterans, guys that are sort of established with the team. But outside of that, you know, Justice has been better at times, but still not enough for a consistent stretch. And you could say, hey, he's made that next jump. So, yeah, when you look big picture, there hasn't been probably more improvement than you need, which makes it all the more amazing that they're sitting where they stand now, you know, 29, 25, whatever it is, right in the hunt. And they just need these guys to keep growing, because even though the trade deadlines, I know you guys are probably going to talk about a lot, the trade deadlines coming up tomorrow, I just don't think there's a magic button or a pill they take or a move they make that just all of a sudden makes this team that much better and that significantly better the way the NBA landscape is now.
Right. That's the thing, because I was looking at it yesterday. What was their talk last night? Was it Tyreek Evans?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not certain. Like, is there – I mean, it would have to be some sort of magical move, I think, that none of us – see happening, right? Like,
no, yeah.
Do you see them making a move?
You know what? Could they make a minor move? Yes. But the problem is, you know, Channing just mentioned that you have your young core. Unless you're getting a superstar, the one thing that he don't have, and look, everybody talks about the guys they re-sign and should they have long-term and all that stuff. That's debatable. I get it. But the reality is this, the Heat were never going to be in position to make the knockout move because they don't have draft picks. And the teams that are out there asking for these kind of moves are normally wanting at least a first, sometimes multiple first, or at least a first and a second. Heat don't have that. They don't have that offer. They didn't have it in the offseason. They don't have it now, and it's not magically going to happen. It's just the way they've done business, and they've tried, you know, they took a chance on the Dragon and those draft picks when Bosch was still healthy. Obviously, we know what happened. And they're trying to make moves kind of to go along and be a competitive, solid team and grow guys without the ability to hit that home run. And right now, I just don't see how it would work in the landscape of the NBA. And also, look around, guys. Who's available? You know, everybody was talking a few months ago, maybe at DeMarcus Cousins. He's obviously not available, and he's hurt. They talked about the guys in Portland, Lillard and McCollum. Now everything you hear is that those guys aren't available. Who's really out there that you could say, okay, somehow we could package a deal and get it? And everybody talks about Hassan. Well, he's the asset. Trade him. I think if you trade Hassan, guys, I mean, they could, but what are you getting? It's probably some sort of lateral move. I don't see how you trade Hassan in a package and get a so-called superstar. I just don't see it happening, certainly not in the next 24 hours.
Will Mansell from Local 10, Fox Sports Sun, is with us. So you're saying, though, no one is hitting the panic alarm after these four losses?
No, because I think the Heat are very smart when it comes to, you know, they understand what they have. Look, when Pat Riley built the team in the offseason and he tried to hit the home run with Hayward, it didn't work, and, you know, they brought these guys back, they knew that every guy has to do his job. And Spo preaches it every night, and it sounds cliche, but you have to do it every night. These guys, they don't have it. Crotty talks about it all the time on the postgame show. Nights like the other night against Orlando is the night that a superstar takes over down the stretch and you win the game. He don't have that guy. You know, a couple of guys made big plays. You know, Jay Rich made a big basket. A couple of guys hit. Bam had a big block. They played solid defense in the final 5 minutes. But with a superstar, you probably don't lose that game. He don't have that. Every guy has to do his job. So I think they understand that. I think Spo understands it. I also, you know, Spo said it yesterday too, which is about as honest as you'll get Spo in a situation like this. He said, look, a week ago, we were battling for the 3 seed and we had, you know, we're 8 over. Now, in the same type of games we're winning, we've lost 4 straight and we're at the 7 seed trying to just stay in the mix. That's the way this team's going to be. One play every night, one basket, one rebound, one loose ball is going to determine if they win or lose. They're just not built to win games by 20 points and blow people out 3, 4, 5 games in a row.
Hey, Will, is there a problem with the post-timeout inbounding? Because I'm going back to the Orlando game. I might be caught up in the moment. But it just seems like that game, and like you're saying, there's always a close game. Lose to the Cavs by 2. You lost to the Hornets by what? The Kings by 1. You just look like these 1, 2, 3-point games. But the inbounding, coming out of a timeout, I felt as if with the big three, you always go back to the glory times, Will. I felt as if you're always going to get those 2 points. Now, coming out of the Orlando game, I said, hell, what's wrong? What's wrong with this?
Yeah, you know what's wrong with it? And it comes down, and I hate to say it too, Channing, it's just the truth. The guys don't execute. It's not that level of caliber of player. And it's not a knock on Justice or Jay Rich or Dragon or these guys that, you know, that are involved in these plays. It takes such perfect execution. I think Spo is a master at inbounds plays. When they work, you say, so, man, that's a great a cut to the basket, a play to the, you know, to the basket, getting a guy open, a play they had on a game winner earlier this year where they couldn't find a guy and they went to Ellington, he hit a shot. But the problem is these guys, just if they make one mistake, one poor execution, Dragic was open. Tony pointed it out there in the broadcast, they showed it the other night. Dragic was cutting to the basket just a tad early. I don't know if it's panic or just he thought, you know, with 5 seconds, a 5 second count, he didn't want to get caught. Made the pass the other way, gets deflected, they lose. That's the type of execution that, let's face it, star players usually make that play, you know, and that's just the way it is. When you have a team built around very good players that all have to play at kind of their highest level, that mistake is the difference between winning and losing. It's just the way it is. And it's such a fine line, guys. 7-game winning streak, talk of the NBA, possible 3 seed to 4-game losing streak, the sky is falling. That's the margin of error this team has right now. And these next 4 games are going to be really interesting. They could go into the break limping and losing 7 of 8 or so. They could go in, you know, surprising, win a couple of these games. But they've got an uphill grind to get to the All-Star break.
Heat and Rockets tonight at the American Airlines Arena. Speaking earlier in the segment when I said I was delighting in another team's misery, the Cavs and last night especially. So if I made you today, you have to bet either the Cavs to be the team that comes out of the East for the NBA Finals or the Field. Who are you taking today?
The Field.
The Field.
I'm taking the Field. This is the first time. I think I tweeted that last night. This is the first time that I actually feel that a LeBron-led team is not going to get out of the East in the first time in, what, 7, 8 years? I mean,
yep.
Every year, not only do you expect it, it happens. I mean, it literally has happened every year for that long. And this is the first time where I think LeBron can't do it alone. I mean, you saw, you know, you played by IT said, you know, all this stuff about they had this dysfunction and J.R. Smith is just kind of plodding along and all these guys that they have, just Kevin Love is hurt. LeBron can't do it on his own, and this is the part that I worry with LeBron, too, is like, LeBron's won a lot, and he's not going to quit, but I think he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. When he starts looking ahead, we know the way LeBron and his camp get. It's like, okay, he's already kind of setting up his exit strategy somehow, and I don't know how much he can pull this off to finish it off with him winning in Cleveland and then getting out of there. I don't think they have the firepower and talent, the depth, the motivation. I don't know what it is. They're just, we saw them against the Heat, guys. Were you impressed? I mean, I wasn't.
No, the Heat, as poorly as the Heat shot from three during that game, the Heat still should have won that game.
They should have. JJ takes a shot, they probably go to overtime or at least have a shot. They outplayed him. The Heat outplayed him going 3 of 28 from 3. They lost to a Magic team last night. The Heat just lost to, on a back-to-back, they go over and down, what they were down 20, come back and beat them by double digits. This team is, something's wrong with this team. And I guess we could delight in it. Maybe LeBron will surprise us, but this is one of the few times I actually doubt that LeBron can pull this off.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't, you know, I know we always talk about the switch and they turn on the switch, but it seems like that window has closed to me because
I don't think
Isaiah Thomas wants to be there or respects LeBron very much. I think the only guy that really respects what LeBron is, the legacy that is LeBron, is D. Wade. And I don't know how physically capable he is of really being a wingman. I think Kevin Love is disgusted with the situation, not that he's playing. I think J.R. Smith is checked out. Derrick Rose is useless.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder can't hit a shot. Kyle Korver's been a waste. I mean, you tell me how they can beat good teams in the East. I don't see it.
I just say Boston. What does Boston have? They now have the perfect formula to go in. They are motivated. They have a superstar, and they play defense. And in the playoffs, you need those things, and they have all of it. I'm not sure how Cleveland gets that from now to 6 weeks from now in the playoffs and is able to pull it off. You know, they sure will win a first-round series. LeBron isn't losing a first-round series. But after that, you get into the other teams, I'm just not sure how they do it. I'm with you 100%. You just went down the list. I don't know how they pull it off.
Will Manso, Local 10, Fox Sports Sun. We always appreciate you making time for us, Will.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there you go, Will Manso. 3 o'clock is going to be the Mark Richt press conference. Is that still on target? Do we know, Falero?
Around 3. Yeah.
Okay. So around 3, we will air Mark Richt live from Coral Gables. Larry Bluestein is going to be here all afternoon, so we're going to find out his take. That guy knows. He knows who wins, who loses. Pat Sertan has gone to Alabama.
You hate that?
Yes, I do.
But think about
it. I happen to like Pat, the father. I like Pat.
Think about it.
I don't like the fact that he allowed his son to go to Alabama.
Let's start with you liking Pat. You wanted his son to succeed, and he's playing for the best coach in the history of college football.
Oh, so he decommitted and went to Miami? He decommitted and went to Miami. Are we hearing that first from you? Because there's only one best coach in college football.
Dan Mullen.
And his name, no. They got a good recruit, though, didn't they? Some kid flipped. What's his name, Falero?
Andrew Chatfield.
The DN?
Yeah. He had the UM hat up,
right.
Dropped it, and then pulled out a Florida Gators hat.
I do not like that.
I like it.
I do not like that. Right. So you got to temper that enthusiasm.
I float in the middle.
Can you imagine that?
UM's like seven right now, right?
Going to play for Dan Mullen instead of Mark Richt.
Now, hey, I let it go. You going to stay on it? You can go to hell with this. You're not going to just sit and make fun of the Gators all day.
Their last coach humped a shark. I'm going to go there.
Get some action.
All right, about 3 o'clock, hopefully Mark Richt will be speaking. We will carry it live.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're going to make sure that we get the Mark Richt press conference. It's supposed to be at 3 o'clock, so we'll break a little early this segment, make sure that everybody gets to hear Mark Richt speak. Have giveaways to do this afternoon. We've got Renaissance Festival tickets. We've got that perfectly paired voucher from Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries for Valentine's Day. Today's a Panthers Wednesday on the radio station. I think we call it Hari Sateri Wednesdays until further notice.
Till he gets benched.
We've got a pair of tickets to see the Panthers and the Capitals at the BB&T Center. We got a lot of stuff to do today.
That's funny with Hari Sateri, though.
I'm rooting for that guy. I don't know if it's anything other than I'm intrigued by his name.
Yesterday, we were at the BB&T.
Yeah.
We talked to Moeller and Goldie and asked him the same question. Like, he's won three in a row yesterday. He's four in a row now. What happens when Reimer and Luongo come back? Oh yeah, he's going to third position.
I don't think you stop it if he's in the middle of a win streak though, because Friday night Reimer might be ready to play, Luongo might be ready to play. I think you go with Hari Sateri.
I listened to Zach and I think Hyde was in with him today this morning.
Yeah,
and they asked Coach Buechner.
And what did he say?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When Luongo gets back in Reimer, yeah, they're going to be 1-2. It's weird to hear that a guy that, you know, did that, came from nothing, and now he's on a 4-game winning streak.
I don't bench a guy that's got the hot hand.
Bob Boutner talked after the game last night. He goes, absolutely, he has earned the spot to start, even with Reimer healthy.
Really?
Yeah.
This morning he said they come back there, he'll go back to three.
Well, if you say enough things each way, you cover yourself. You know what we should do? We should break now because Mark Richt is supposed to speak in 8 minutes. Dave and Buster's, I just tweeted something out from Dave and Buster's. As just a little aside here, I was reading on CNBC.com, you know, a lot of Sears stores are closing in malls because Sears is shuttering a lot of stores. And so one of the tenants that's replacing a lot of the Sears, because Sears are big footprints, Dave and Buster's, they're going into a lot of those areas. So I had tweeted out, because the Sears in Boca Raton is closing. I'm like, oh, put a Dave and Buster's there. People will come just to watch me play Papa Shot. That's what I tweeted at Dave and Buster's.
I don't know.
People will come just to watch me play Papa Shot. That's my game. Now, you see me playing at Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. That's the one that I enjoy talking about because that's the one that's closest. That's the one that's convenient for everyone. It's the one that we go to sometimes after the show. I go there for lunch. But I'm telling you, I've got a Papa Shot following.
Really?
There should be a push notification when I'm showing up at that Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. Because I'm that good at Papa Shot.
Even standing on the ground, or you always got to stand up on the machine?
I don't stand on the machine. Now, that's just disrespectful. That is just flat-out disrespectful. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood, the perfect place. You will never see me standing on the machine. I may walk up close on skee ball, but I do not stand on that Papa Shot. That is just disrespectful. That is flat out disrespectful. Opening ceremonies are Friday night. Perfect place to watch. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. Their sports bar. Tons of TVs. The huge flat screen, high def TVs. It's one of the best places to watch a game, big sporting event in all of South Florida. The food there at Dave and Buster's, off the charts. The games in the Midway, whether it's Papa Shot or the newer games. Like, I like the classics like Papa Shot and air hockey and skee ball, but all the newer games there at Dave and Buster's are awesome. It's like the perfect place. And then Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. They've got happy hours, so it's Monday through Friday, 4:30 until 7, and then Sunday through Thursday, 10 p.m. until close. There are specials almost every day of the week. What's today? Wednesday? Wednesday, all games are half price. Dave and Buster's, all games are half price. Go there after work today. Go to Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. All games are half price. Cannot do any better. Dave and Buster's in the Oakwood Plaza in Hollywood, just east of I-95 between Sterling and Sheridan. It really is convenient for everyone. Dave and Buster's, eat, drink, play, watch sports.
Let it ride!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.